Well, that was lovely, and we thank you for it, for singing to us those lovely choruses and hymns. Now, we're going to ask Ryan to come again, Ryan McKee, to come and speak to us. We're really blessed this morning, and I know Ryan's busy. He's just finished exams there last week, and I was down in the other side of Londonderry doing meetings, and he was singing at those, and he was here this morning. He was at an open air this afternoon. He's here tonight. He's going to another meeting later on to speak this evening. So he's very busy, but we thank him for coming, and we trust that you'll listen to what he has to say, and we're going to ask Ryan to come and tell us what the Lord has laid upon his heart. So Ryan, thank you, and you're very welcome again.
Well, it's great to be back this evening. I was looking forward to coming back and hearing y'all sing again. And unlike you, I made a mistake this morning. I wonder if anybody picked it up. I'm not going to ask for hands because it's not the one I was thinking of. I showed you the number one. I remember I was going to show you throughout the story, and I was at the third roundabout from the church. I thought, oh, I forgot to show them the number one. Can anybody tell me what you're supposed to say whenever I showed you the number one? Yes? There's only one way to be saved. Good man. Well done. Well, there's somebody listening this morning. That's great. And hopefully I'll not make as many mistakes tonight. Now, I have something with me. There's something in this box. And I'm going to give you some clues, and I want you to guess what it is. Okay, so just put up your hand if you think you know. Now, the first clue is that it's alive. Yes. Nope, not a spider. No, it's not a snake, because if it was a snake, I wouldn't be here. Yes. No, right, next clue. It's got a leathery skin cover. Nope. One more guess and then I'll give you another clue. Nope, not a frog. Now, they come in different colours, but this one is blue. Well done. Well done. Excellent. It's a Bible. Now, what was my first clue? It's alive. And you're thinking, now what is he talking about? Sure, that's a book. Books can't live. Well, do you know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12? That the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know what the word quick means? Living. It's alive. How can a book be alive? Well, it's alive because every time we open God's precious word and we read it, God speaks to us through it. You see, this book is full of facts, and it's full of wisdom, and it's full of history, but it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Because it tells you about your past, it tells you how you stand before God now, it tells you about your future. God uses this book to speak to souls, and there's nothing better than hearing God speaking to you through his word. You know, I went to Bible college 4 years ago, because God spoke to me through his word and told me to go there. Isn't that wonderful? God speaks to us and has a plan for our lives whenever we read and obey his word. And therefore tonight, for a few moments, we're going to think about God's word. That's what you've been singing about, reciting about, speaking about. And we're going to think about God's word in the closing moments of this meeting. But before we do that, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. And pray that we would hear God's voice tonight. So everybody, close your eyes and bow your head. And you pray that the Lord would speak to you tonight. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for the privilege of being in the house of God. We thank thee, Lord, for what our ears have heard. We thank thee for this wonderful book, the precious Word of God. And Lord, we're very privileged to have it tonight. And we're honoured to hold it in our hands tonight. And in reality, we hold the words of eternal life in our hands. And I pray, Lord, tonight that will be a reality not only in our hands, but in the hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, for those who are not saved in this meeting. You'll open their eyes, show them their need of a Saviour, show them the end of their sin, and cause them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. Lord, we need thy help tonight. We thank thee this morning for thy help. But, oh Lord, this is a new meeting, and therefore I pray that, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with God, the Holy Spirit, I pray. And may the word of God come with simplicity and yet with power. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name, for his sake. Amen. Now, the Bible is like different things, or there's different things we can use to describe the Bible. Now, something we could use to describe the Bible is this, a letter. Now, I love getting letters, provided there's no wee window in it and it's not a bill asking me for money. I love getting letters. I love reading letters from people who have taken time to write to me and share some news. And it's a wonderful thing to get a letter from a friend, maybe a birthday card, maybe a Christmas card, and to hear about your friends. You know, the Word of God is really God's letter to the people of this world. God has given us this precious book. You see, some people think, well, man just wrote down some things years ago and they've been reading it for years and years and years, but it's only the words of man. Do you know that the Bible tells us that man, yes, he did write the Bible, but they wrote the Bible because God told them what to write. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they wrote God's word. And when you read the Bible, this is the word of God. Now, can you imagine the excitement there would be if you got a letter tomorrow morning in the post from the Queen, Buckingham Palace stamped in the front of it? You would open it, you'd be real excited, you would run and tell everybody what it said, because she's an important person, and it would be really exciting to get a letter from her. You know something, we have something more great, something more precious. We have a letter from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who made this world. The one who loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. We have a letter. And this letter is for you and it's for me. And in this letter, there are different things we're told about ourselves and about God. Remember this morning, we were told that we were sinners. That's the message in the letter. Remember this morning, we thought about there's one way to be saved. That's one of the messages in the letter. I want to read another verse to you, and it's found in Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12. And here's the message of the Word of God. Prepare to meet thy God. This is what the Bible's all about. The Bible tells us that there's a Saviour who really saves from sin. A Saviour who can cleanse you from your sin and make you ready for heaven. This is God's Word, God's letter to his people. But it's not only a letter, but if you read God's Word, in Psalm 119, verse 105, and it's up on the screen, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And here we have a torch. Now, can anybody tell me what we use a torch for, or a light for, or a lamp for? Yes. So we can see. That's the correct answer. A lamp, or a torch, or a light gives light. So you can see where you are. You can see what's around you. You can see obstacles that you won't trip over. You can see what's happening. And you know, the Bible is like a light. Because if you're standing in a dark room, you can't see anything. If it's nighttime and the lights are switched off, you can't see anything. But then when you turn on the light, it makes all the difference, because you can see. This hangs over the corner of my bed, because about 5 years ago, we had a very bad storm in Met Ulster, and I was trying to find candles and I couldn't, and I think I hit myself off of every possible obstacle that there was between me and the candles, and I decided I was going to hang this over in bed. I'll know where it is next time the lights went out. No, boys and girls, the Bible tells us that God's word is light. And when we read God's word, it shines a light in us. It shows us ourselves as we really are. Do you know something? That's why many people don't like the Bible today. That's why many moms and dads and grown-ups don't want to read the Bible. Because the Bible shows them what they really are in the sight of God. If you come to the light of the Bible, you will realize and see that before God, you're a sinner. Before God, there's no good thing in your life. People don't want to hear that, and they don't want to read that. In fact, John's Gospel tells us that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And it says that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Many people don't want to come to church today because they don't want to hear the truth of God's word. They don't want to hear how they stand before a holy God. You don't want to hear that they're helpless in their sin. And yet that's what God's word says. And the light of God's word not only shows us ourselves, but it points us to the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to give eternal life to those who believe. Not only that, but whenever we're saved, it's our light to guide us through life. It shows us how we ought to live. Sometimes maybe people say, Christians say, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, or I don't know if I'm allowed to go here, or I don't know if that's right or if that's wrong. Whenever you read God's word, he'll guide you and he'll show you what's right and what's wrong. Now, there's something else that the Bible's described as. And it's this. Now, unfortunately, it's not a very nutritious example of it, but this is food. The word of God is described as food. We read in Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We read, it's like milk that you give to little babies. You read, it's like meat that you give to grown-ups. You see, the word of God is food for the Christian. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved in this meeting, have you feasted on God's word today? Have you read God's word today? Have you taken time to nourish yourself? Now, you know what happens whenever you stop eating food. Well, if you miss one or two meals, you start to go hungry. Tummy starts to grumble. If you don't eat for more than a day or two, then your body starts to go weak. It can't fight against the diseases and the bacteria. And then you start to get sick. You see, the human body can't survive without food. And that's the exact same for the Christian. If you want to be a strong Christian, if you want to be able to fight against temptation and against sin, live for the Lord, witness for the Lord, then you need to be strong by feasting on the word of God. And when Christians stop reading the word of God, then they become weak. Then they give in to sin. Then they give in to temptation. You see, the Bible is like a light, a letter, a light, and it's like food. But there's something else the Bible's like. And it's this. What's this? A map. A map. It's a road map. And if you want to go somewhere that you've never been, and you want to reach that destination, then you have to go and look at a map. Although today we have sat navs, which do the same job, or you can go on the internet and Google where you're going to and find your map there. But you need directions being given to us. Because we are travelling on a journey through life. Word of God tells us that each of us are travelling. Travelling towards somewhere. Whenever you're born into this world as a sinner, you're travelling towards hell. On the broad road. That's the reality. And if you're not saved tonight, that's where you're headed to. That's where your final destination is. But whenever you're saved, then you travel upon a road that leads to heaven. And many people want to know, how can I get to heaven? What must I do to be saved? How can I make sure that when I die, I'm going to be in that place? Well, the word of God tells us that the Bible will show us the path of life. You see, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse number 14 says, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way to heaven, the way to have your sins forgiven, the way to have peace with God. You know, boys and girls, we're born into this world as sinners, and that means we've sin in our hearts. That means we're sinful before God, and we cannot get rid of our sin. We cannot get rid of our sin. Some people try to cover their sin. Some people try to ignore their sin. Word of God tells us that God has a record of our sin. And if we stand before him on the day of judgment as sinners, we will be judged for the sins that we have committed. Boys and girls, mums and dads, if you ever want to be in heaven, it's only through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we need to have our sins taken away. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need to have our sins removed. And to show you that, I just want to leave a very quick illustration with you. And I want to ask Mr. Higginson to please
stand up wee moment. And I just want to show you, as we close our meeting tonight, a small illustration of how to have your sins forgiven. See, boys and girls, I'm going to put him into handcuffs. And I hope it's the only time you see him in handcuffs. That represents our sin. And no matter what you do, when you're handcuffed, you can't get out of them. That's why the police use them, so they can restrain people and they can take them. And the Word of God tells us that we're bound by sin. Boys and girls, we want to have sin out of our lives if we want to go to heaven. We want to be ready for heaven. And we want to have our sins forgiven. I'm going to have words after this meeting with this minister. Right, okay. Thanks. Some people try different ways to get rid of their sin. Try different keys to unlock the handcuffs of sin. Here's some of the keys they use. This is a key to the church in Mockerfeld. Do you know that some people believe that by going to church, that will take away your sin? If I go to church all my life, Sunday school, Bible class, children's meeting, if I go to missions, if I listen to the preacher every Sunday, if I sing the hymns, if I come dressed well to church, listen really well and do my best, you know what? When I die, the Lord will let me into heaven because I've done all those things. Boys and girls, you can go to church and that's good. Listen to what the preacher is saying. That's good. But going to church in itself doesn't take away your sin. This key doesn't unlock those handcuffs. Church is not the way to heaven. What did our verse say? Jesus said, I am the way. Some people try this. Now, this is a toy key. It's off a toy. Now, boys and girls here this morning, and I'm sure sometimes you play different games. For example, maybe there's some girls and you pretend that you're a teacher. You get your wee brothers and sisters in and you start to teach them. You give them work to do. You mark their work. Maybe some boys pretend to be farmers, get out in the tractor, bring in the hay. Do you know, there's some people, and they act like Christians. They try to live like Christians. They do the things that Christians do. And if you looked at their lives, you would think they are Christians. But they've never been saved on the inside. And boys and girls, it's not enough to live a life like a Christian. Not just to not say bad words, not to do wrong things, not to tell lies, not to say, you see, sin is within us and we must have our sins forgiven. And it's not enough to pretend to be a Christian. We need something that's going to take our sins away, and pretending to be saved will not do that. Does anybody know what this is the key to? Or for, sorry, I should say. No? A clock, yes, it's a clock, twined up a clock. And you know, this reminds us that some people think that, well, you know what? If I wait until I'm older, then I'll be able to say no to sin. I'm just a boy or girl now. I find it hard not to do wrong things, and I know I do sinful things. But you see, when I get older, I'll be able to make better decisions. I'll be able to say no to sin, and I'll be able to please God with the life that I live. You know, boys and girls, the Bible tells us that sin can only be removed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The adults will tell you in here tonight, you see, as you get older, unless you're saved, the only thing you do is you sin more and more and more. And that's why we tell you while you're young, turn from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus to save you. Here we have a key to a safe. And in a safe, you keep precious things, you keep special things. You keep things that are good. And you know, some people try and live lives that are good. They give to charity. They try to be a good neighbour, a good son, a good daughter, a good mom, a good dad. They try their best at everything they do. And they believe because of the good works that they do, somehow the Lord will be pleased with them and get them into heaven. Do you know something? Only
Only one thing can take away your sin. Only one person can take away your sin. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way your sin can be removed. The only way your sin can be forgiven. You know the little hymn we sometimes sing, "He died on the cross that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." And if you want to be in heaven, if you want to be right with God, then it's only the Lord Jesus who can take away that barrier of sin. Only the Lord Jesus can release you from your sin. And maybe you say to me, "Well, you know what? I know I'm not ready for heaven. I know I'm not a Christian. I know I'm a sinner, and I know if I die as I am tonight that I'm going to that awful place called hell. How can I be saved? How can I be saved?" Well, boys and girls, in the Bible, there was a leper, and he came to the Lord, and he said to the Lord, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And the Lord cleansed him from his leprosy. He didn't try and cover up his sickness. He didn't try and cover up his disease, but he came just as he was. And that's how you come to the Lord Jesus. Whenever you ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, you acknowledge that you are a sinner. I wonder if you've done that. Boys and girls, have you ever confessed that you're a sinner before the Lord? Have you ever asked him to be your Savior? Grown-ups in this meeting, you've been to church many times. You've heard the boys and girls sing about the Bible. You've heard about salvation. You could tell the gospel story. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever confessed you're a sinner before God? Have you ever asked the Lord to save you? Have you ever asked the Lord to come into your life and to be your Lord and to be your Master? We have a great privilege tonight. And I said in my prayer, we hold in our hands a precious book. This is a special book because it's God's word. These are the words of eternal life. How sad it would be if someone left the house of God holding God's word in their hand, holding God's message of salvation, holding God's call to come unto him for eternal life, and then they left the service without responding. We need to be saved. We need to be ready. What was the message of the Bible? Prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready tonight? I trust and pray, if you're not, that you will speak to one of your Sunday school teachers. Speak to the Reverend Higginson. Come and speak to me. If you want to get saved, if you want to make sure that you're ready for heaven, I would urge you to come tonight. Come to the Savior and ask him to save you. And the promise of God's word is this: him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.